God is good. I need a report on Paul. Paul Johnson. Anybody give me a report on how Paul is doing? All right. All right, Gail. I see you back there now. All right. All right. Remember my friend Paul? Boy, we go back a long way. And Graydon, you better not tell any stories on us either. All right. Marianne, continue to remember Marianne Williamson as she fights her cancer. Remember Vicki McKee as she fights hers. A lot of battles going on. And what I'd like to do this morning, take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to continue on with Brother Phil's message. God has been working that out each week. I didn't know what he was going to teach on. He didn't know what I was going to preach on, but God always works that out. He preached on a godly man. He preached on a godly man, and Philippians 4:6, the Bible says this. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, see, the problem is today is that men's hearts and minds are in turmoil. They're unstable, and their hearts and minds are confused and looking for truth. The old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Folks are looking for peace in all the wrong places. Why? Because they have not submitted themselves to God. They don't want to be a godly man. And only until they seek God with a pure heart, come to God, are they able to become a godly man. You can't become a godly man by running with the devil's crowd and living like the devil and talking like the devil. I remember going to a church with a fella, walked in the reservation restaurant, and he's sitting at the coffee table and cussing like a 30-year Navy man. Something was wrong with that picture. It don't work that way. But folks today are looking for the peace of God. So I want to look at some things this morning that separate a born-again child of God from an unsaved man. And notice today, I want you to notice that the bars and the dope houses and what they used to call the bawdy houses and the brothels and the gambling houses and every other venue that I could name are filled with people who have never and will never find the peace of God. They don't know what it is to live godly. They think godliness is religion. My, my, my. They're always, seem like they're looking for substitutes. Substitute peace. Substitute joy. The average American day will simply go from one fix to another. If the high wears off, they'll go on to another drink, to another line of drugs, another pull on the lever from the slot machine. Hey, if the lust wears off, they'll just go on to another woman, another game of Texas Hold'em, another anything that a man has chosen to lust after in the day we live in. And it's all in a quest for all those things that he can never satisfy and will never satisfy a wandering soul. God wants you to live godly and to become godly. The only way you can become godly is through the Holy Spirit of God, that operation of God. Nicodemus didn't understand that. The Lord said, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not only that, but he can't be godly without God. Can't live godly without God. God enables you to live godly if you'll allow him. Some lust after money. Some lust after success or after power. We see that with a political crowd. Power. Position. My, my, my. Some lust after the ladies. Many times after the soap opera heroes. They wouldn't have me. Said I was too good looking for those soap operas, Brother Phil. The guiding light. Don't give me a dirty look, honey. Hey, one size fits all. Don't give me a dirty look now. Let me move on. Hey, The Bible says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, and he that loveth abundance with increase. None of these things will give you the peace of God or tend to the peace of God. Solomon once said that he had tried everything. He had tried everything under the sun, and he came to the conclusion that all was vanity and vexation of spirit. He had done it all. What, do you have about 1,000 or 2,000 wives? Man, can you imagine that? It's difficult getting along with one, let alone 1,000. I'd be starting to build some kind of temple or something, too, if I had 1,000 wives. Anything to get out of the house. I better move on. I'm getting in trouble this morning. Hey, all vanity and vexation of spirit. The suicide animals are filled with every class of people. Every class of people today, from the very rich and famous to the very poor and unknown. And none ever found real peace without the Prince of Peace. Life will wear you down. It'll get you down and so down that you feel in so much despair that you have nowhere to go. And God says, come unto me, all you that labor under heavy laden. I will give you rest. And then when God touches that heart, he'll teach you how to live godly and be pleasing to him. We'll talk about that a little later. I remember a sports legend, Deion Sanders. Anybody remember when he played at Cincinnati? He was ready to take his life right over here on I-275 one night. But he found Jesus Christ. His own testimony is that he found Jesus Christ, changed his world, changed his life. Others were not so fortunate. For many, their quest for peace ends in hopelessness and despair and poverty and addiction and death. The beautiful young lady that I buried Friday, 28 years old, beautiful flower laid out in that casket, died from a heroin overdose. And she was saved. Say, how do you know that? Because I led her to the Lord when she was a little girl. You say, you mean God will keep somebody if they get involved in that? Hey, if you're saved, you're saved. If she meant it from the heart, whenever she trusted Christ, she's as saved as you and I are today. But the flesh is weak. It's weak. Paul said, we are those that have no confidence in the flesh. You say, well, I'd never do that. You don't know what you do. I know that this body of flesh of mine is capable of anything. You got to watch it like a hawk. You've got to watch your flesh and watch it. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Brokenhearted to see all those kids, a whole bunch of brothers and sisters. It was a big family. All those brothers and sisters weeping. I preached to them about Jesus Christ and about their hope. Your hope is not. Brother Phil and I heard a guy preach a message down at Dennis Hicks one time. Says, there's no hope in the dope, soap, or the Pope. Those three things. Hey, no hope in dope. Our hope is in Christ. He will enable you to live a holy life and a godly life. You'll never find peace without Jesus Christ. The converted Jew, Mike Stroh, who's preached here for us, Dr. Mike Stroh, a Hebrew scholar, gives his testimony about salvation. And he said that he worked with a fellow who was a Nazarene preacher. And said he was riding with him home from work one evening, and the preacher friend of his had to stop by the hospital. He had someone he had promised that he would go see who was dying in the hospital that's around North Vernon somewhere. And said they went into the hospital and went up next to that fellow's hospital bed, and that preacher, that Nazarene preacher, witnessed to Jesus Christ to that fellow, and Mike Stroh just sit over there in a chair just watching it all. He was a Jew, but he is watching this fellow being witnessed to about Jesus Christ. And the fellow told that preacher, said he didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. He was not interested in Jesus Christ. So that preacher left, and that preacher went somewhere and left Mike Stroh sitting there. And Brother Mike said, all of a sudden he looked at that man, sit up in that bed and started screaming and said the flames of hell had surrounded him. And that man died and literally went to hell. And Mike Stroh saw it. And got saved, trusted Christ, and is now a Baptist preacher. My, my, my. A lot of despair in this life. God don't demand that you be, God don't make anybody be a Christian. Some religions say either you believe the way I do or we're going to kill you. God don't say that. God says, whosoever will, let him come. You have a right to go to hell if and you want to. My, my. A lost man can never find peace, only perdition in his lost state. And our text here in Philippians 4 says that you can find that peace through prayer and supplication. Supplication gives the inference of humility. You go to God with a humble heart. A proud man don't have much of a chance standing before God in his pride. It's one of the things that God hates, a proud look. In our text here, Philippians 4, it says that you find that peace through prayer and supplication. Another thing a lost man can never find in this life without the Prince of Peace is real purpose. Brother Phil talked a little about that this morning in Sunday school. Ecclesiastes 8:6, because to every purpose there is a time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Hey, a fellow by the name of Rick Warren wrote a book entitled The Purpose-Driven Life. Now, I don't know much about that, but without reading Rick Warren's book, I already know the answer to that question because of another book that I did happen to read called The Holy Bible, and it says our purpose is to serve God, to bring Him glory, and we're created by Him and for His pleasure. It's called the Christ-driven life. If you want to be a godly man, you need to have a Christ-driven life. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities. My, my, my. Or powers, it says, all things were created by him and for him. Is that a news flash? You were created for him? Now, the bestseller that I read is about a Christ-driven life. And whenever your life is Christ-driven, you will find purpose and fulfill your purpose toward God. A fellow says, well, I was just born to sing. No, you weren't. You were born to serve God and bring him glory. I know some of you definitely were born to not sing. You think, well, whatever you come up with, that's what God comes up with. No, a lot of times you come up with whatever you want to do and leave out what God wants you to do. My, my, my. That little girl of mine, she's just so cute. I see her dancing around to that music. Why, she may be a great dancer. You may as well put a brass pole in that little girl's crib because there's not too many dancing jobs out there that bring glory to Jesus Christ. Getting kind of quiet in here. You're getting kind of rough talking, preacher. The premise of this book postures a question, what am I here for? Rick Warren. I'll tell you what you're here for, to bring glory to God. That's what I'm here for. It's what you're here for. For his pleasure. My, my, my. Some folks bring pleasure to God by singing. Others bring pleasure to God by not singing. Hey, you and I were born to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why are we building that building? Not that we might look like we're something over here, but that God might get glory, that souls might come in. These bus ministries might keep these kids coming in, that we might do visits to homes. The world is dying and going to hell unless someone goes and tells them. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My. All we think about, it seems like, is self-indulgence, self-gratification, a self-glorifying life will never give you purpose, nor peace, nor contentment, nor joy. You'll never find real peace in this life without the Prince of Peace. You'll never find real purpose in this life without understanding God's purpose for your life. You'll never find pleasure that you're searching for outside the person and presence of Jesus Christ. Where'd you get that from, preacher? From Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Who, God? Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It should be pleasurable for you to serve the living God. Do you want peace? Then you need to find the Prince of Peace. You want purpose? Then you need to seek your purpose before God. And whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Are you searching for pleasures? The Bible says they're found at the right hand of God. It's only then that you'll find your potential for God. Only one way to make your life prosperous and to reach your potential for God. Joshua said this, Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night to observe to do all the things that are written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt find good success. My. It's the only passage in Scripture where the word success is found. Another place the Bible says, Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Read the book. Read the manual. God's purpose, you'll find it right there. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It seems from these passages that finding peace, finding purpose, reaching your potential and making your way prosperous has to do with doing what God wants you to do, and that's pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:5, it said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Are you living a godly life today? You can. God enables you to do that. You don't have to yield to the flesh, even though it's weak. The Bible says he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. After you discover the peace of God, the purpose of God, and your potential for God, won't you then just give God the preeminence in everything you do? God is not a back burner God. Colossians 1:16, I'm about done. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Watch it, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means God first, you next. In fact, that word joy, I've heard preachers take that word joy. It's Jesus first, and then the O is others, and then you last, J-O-Y. Esteeming others better than yourselves. All right, I'm done. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a Christ-driven life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You're not going to do without. You're going to have more. Hey, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is. God don't judge a man by how many possessions you have, and you'll never find a peace in your heart through stuff. It comes through a relationship with your Lord Jesus Christ. You want to become godly today, you need to put on Jesus Christ. You need to trust Christ. Trust him every day. For by grace are you saved, and then you live it the same way. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Everyone stand up.